Thank you so much, Bill, for joining the We Don't Play podcast show today. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I'm really doing amazing because, you know, SEO is a big term, and I'm so happy that you're here to, you know, enlighten us and tell us a little bit more about what you've seen in your experience and just shed some light on the topic and make it easier for people to understand. So I'm excited to have you here with me today.
I have been told that is one of my gifts, making SEO something that most people can understand. So I will do my best.
No problem. I appreciate that. I would love people to know more about you. You know, how did you get started? What drove you to this point you are in today to help people like this?
So it's a funny question. One of the things that I love to ask is the same question you asked. I'd love to ask other SEOs, how did you get into this? Because this wasn't something that we learned in school. This wasn't even I'm not even sure they're teaching it today. So everybody seems to have come into SEO in some really strange way. So my story is back, I mean, this is like early 90s, and my dream was being a rock star. That was it. So I had a record deal. Things are moving well in Philadelphia. And then everything fell apart like things do. But I was wise enough to sort of network within, you know, the opportunity I had. I tried to meet everybody I could. There was something happening that was kind of unique, and I was able to grab onto it. So the internet was still fairly new, right? This is before Google even came out. So the internet was still fairly new, and a lot of the major label artists didn't really know, was the internet here to stay? Is it something we should be putting money into? And nobody was really interested in doing any kind of work like that. I don't know if you're old enough to remember Napster, but it was around that time. So just then I decided, you know what, maybe the rock star thing didn't work out. Let me make a music magazine. I don't see any music magazines on the internet. Rollingstone.com hadn't even thought to make an internet magazine yet. That's how early all this was. And how timid a lot of people were to jump into the internet. So I started making a music magazine, and what I was ultimately doing was actually stepping into the future footsteps of what I'd be doing in SEO. So a lot of the guerrilla marketing that I was doing to try to get traffic turned into SEO in a way. So I focused heavily on search engines because there were plenty of search engines that weren't very good. It used to be, the trick used to be just go in every day. Make sure that you're updating your listing and you'll get number one rankings. Like, that's how easy it used to be.
Yeah.
So as soon as I was seeing the traffic come from that, I was addicted to driving traffic from search engines. And I stuck with the SEO industry as it matured more and more. As Google came out, they added something to the mix that other search engines didn't really do. So they, and that was a jackpot for them, the thing they put in. We could talk about that a little later maybe. But it helped them, you know, elevate to the top, and that's who I hung on to. I was like, these guys are going to be king. These guys have become king. Let me stick with Google I've been working on this for over 20 years, I think, at this point. Like, just with Google. Like, let's just stick with Google and figure out how Google is doing all this. And the more that we can really demystify Google, all the other search engines sort of follow suit. So by optimizing for Google, we're optimizing for a lot more than even just search engines these days. Because a lot of what SEO is now isn't just traditional blocking and tackling. It's really good marketing. So that's the long story kind of turned short. I took that skill set, the SEO skill set. I took it to other brands. I've worked with my story is I've always said to people when we walk into a mall, I said, I've probably done SEO at every store at that mall. So I've had quite a good experience and portfolio of really great clients, and it's just been a dream come true that I do what I love every single day.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this. You know, it's amazing that you mention it like this, because when we think about SEO and understanding it, there are so many moving parts. You know, people hear black hat SEO, white hat SEO, gray hat, then all of a sudden they hear on page, off page. So they're like, we don't know what this means. We don't know what international SEO means. We don't know what franchise SEO means. And it's like every word that comes before the word SEO, it's like a new block that you have to unwrap. So if you could tell us just a little bit what SEO is and what it means for businesses specifically when it comes to being found through search.
That is a great question. I think part of the reason it's so confusing and why there's so many terms and concepts that some people know and other people don't know. And I think that's part of not having a centralized education system.
Yeah.
But yeah, all those terms, I learn new terms all the time. I'm like, oh, I never heard of that one before. But the way that I think of SEO, in contrast to the way that some think of it, to me, it is a marketing channel. It's not just manipulating an algorithm. Okay? That's what a lot of people think SEO is. Black hats really are just focused on tricking that algorithm and getting, you know, results from Google by manipulating Google. My approach, and the approach that I favor when you call yourself an SEO, is you're not just about, you're really not trying to manipulate Google. Don't do that. That's, Google's so advanced now. Trying to manipulate an AI, you know, written algorithm is just crazy. But what we do is we think, here's what Google ultimately wants. Google ultimately wants to look good. Number one, they're a business trying to make $1 billion a day. So they're trying to look good. And number two, they're trying to make their searchers happy. So in my mind, an SEO should come in with two masters, right? We're supposed to try to figure out Google's algorithms, figure out the signals that Google is using for every single website. And they're different. Google's not using the same signals for a pet retailer than they are a lawyer, you know? They're totally different. Google knows better than to give everybody the same factors. So in my mind, it's understanding what things Google's looking for specifically from your website, because they understand your visitors and what kind of things they're looking for. If you can answer that question for Google, Google trusts you and will start ranking you better. So that's where the marketing comes in. It's not, you know, it's really understanding what people are looking for and satisfying them when they land on the page. So some SEOs can't get very far into that. They don't really understand the marketing side of it. They're just more technical minded. So what's cool about SEO is there really are several concentrations within this big definition. I know people that are good at the on-page side, right? They're good at the content side, but they're terrible at the code side. They can't figure out anything about the code side. And that's okay. You're still an SEO. It's rare to find an SEO who knows how to do every single part of SEO.
That is true. And if you know every part, then that means you are constantly learning, because there's always something new. You know how Google changes their algorithm about 8 times a day on average. And compared to when, I think a few years ago, when like Instagram changed their algorithm and everybody was, you know, going crazy because they're like, what's going to happen to my feed now? You know, and people don't know that Google changes it at least 8 times a day. So people who are focused on their business and they want to grow with SEO, quote unquote, and they are heavily focusing on content and social media without thinking about SEO, because some people say, oh yeah, I need SEO, but I don't have a website. I'm like, you still need SEO because it still goes to your brand in a way. So for those people who are using social media and trying to leverage SEO at the same time, what are the best practices for them, whether they have a new website, an established website, or even an old domain?
That's a good question. I love social media for promotion. Right? So Google isn't going to look at most things in social media and say, okay, we're going to count the link value, right? So the one piece I talked about earlier, there was a thing that made Google different. It was a thing that made Google special. They decided when they came out, how about we look at the entire web and consider it like a democratic nation? And if somebody links to somebody else, therefore, in an, you know, a democratic nation, that would kind of be a vote. That would be a vote of, you know, confidence for, or, you know, a vote of, hey, this is a good website by linking to it. That's the program that Google put together. Now, we know that's not totally true. We know people are buying links all the time. So the model doesn't work that well. But it really does create a situation where Google was like, you know, we need to be counting these links. We need to be counting all of these things. But yeah, I think I lost your question.
No, it's totally okay.
That's the thing. I could go down. You're totally right. There's so much to learn. Yeah. There's so much to do and so much to learn that when I try to answer questions, it's like I'm thinking in my head, which answer do I give? But the marketing part is really key. Like, just to be an SEO, you got to understand today, to be successful, you got to understand the marketing part so that users don't just come to the site. You know, an SEO can give you traffic all day long, but can they give you qualified traffic? Can they give you traffic that comes to the site and actually converts? My opinion that is that an SEO should be in there doing CRO, conversion rate optimization. We know that Google looks at how people interact with our site. If somebody comes to the website and they look at something right away and say, ah, that's definitely not what I want, and they go right out within seconds, Google sees that. You think Google wants to keep on showing your page if people just aren't happy with the look, with the content quality, with the usability of it? So all of those things, you know, are SEO to me. And because you're doing changes that try to please people and make people work through the site and ultimately make money for my client. That's why I think things like usability, things like CRO are part of SEO. SEO goes so much further than just thinking about title tags and, you know, box crawling around. I do remember your question. It is a long-winded answer to it, but the thing with social media is once social media started to come out, everybody started spamming their links on social media. So Google had to say, hold on, we can't count this. This is too spammy. But what we've noticed is what they do, what Google does do is, as people are promoting things on social media, it gives some of this content a new life, right? Now somebody else takes it and writes about it. Now somebody else is promoting it. There's things that Google can see that are sort of the halo effect of when you're pushing with social media. So SEO and social media have a very strange relationship because it just creates too much of an opportunity to create signals that confuse Google. So yeah, do your social media, get your audience, build all that. SEO lives kind of underneath everything. So you're sending signs to Google that you're doing SEO by doing promotion. You're sending signs to Google that you're doing your SEO if you're just writing good content for people. You know, if you don't know anything about SEO and you wrote the most authoritative piece of content, that's an amazing start.
That is so true. You know, because what you're saying is, you know, typically, because they're like, oh, how do you do that? And I'm thinking, okay, the best way would be write a blog on your website, do all your tags, your rich snippets, all your markups, and then bring that link, that anchor text that you're creating, get that hyperlink onto the facebook.com platform. Because when I think about it, I treat websites like land. So if I'm going to be on your property with my link, then it has to take me somewhere that's authoritative for me to stay. So if I use the URL and I say, hey guys, new article, check it out, and they click on it, the browser that opens is within the Facebook. So that's why when you look at Google Analytics, you get to see, or GA4, you get to see that, oh, okay, referring traffic is from Facebook or from LinkedIn, because you can see that that link is being viewed on a different website as a property. So now this now makes me ask, do I need to be on all social media platforms to get this effect, or be at a longer stretch, or should I just focus on one and just dive deep?
I think you need to go where your audience is. So if your audience is mostly hanging out on LinkedIn, then, you know, write something great on LinkedIn and watch how well that just ranks, you know, for you on Google. Sometimes SEO isn't about getting our own sites to rank. It's about getting other sites that mention us and talk highly about us and drive clicks to us. So yeah, it's really about figuring out where your audience is. I mean, at Green Lane, where I the company I own and work every day, like, we have a pretty wide variety of clients and the type of goals that they have. Some are really trying to sell products. Some are, you know, just trying to get email signups. So, you know, understanding the goals of every client really dictates how you should go forward with SEO, whether you should be doing tons of social media, or I have some that are in the B2B space who have no social media presence at all.
True.
Because they've tried it and it did nothing for them. So it's not for everybody.
Exactly. Now, I just have a case in point. So if, let's say, someone looks at the Google Search Console fresh start, their performance review shows up after 28 days, and they have, let's say, 5 clicks, hypothetically speaking, and they look at the query tab under performance in their console, and they see that these queries have been clicked on, what should a person do next?
I mean, that's great data to understand what your searchers are looking for. You know, so if you're starting to see these keywords and they're the ones that people are using are maybe not keywords that are completely relevant to you, mm-hmm. or any articles that you have, it's interesting because Google's saying, hey, we think you're relevant enough for this. I'd love to take what Google already thinks I'm relevant for and blow it out of the water, 10x it, be 10x better than anybody else talking about it. That's Google telling you you're getting a head start. I always tell people to, if they are good with SEO tools, there's tools like Ahrefs.com and SEMrush.com. These are great tools that give you information that Google doesn't give you, right? So being able to understand what works for somebody else is an amazing insight. So these are tools that really help you go do that, and then just building something amazing out through that tool.
That's beautiful, because what my next question was going to be was, if you're ranking for 3 keywords that are the same, and if you want to 10x that, are you going to do, like, let's say 10 articles about those topic clusters, or are you going to find questions to answer that is going to populate more keywords within that key phrase?
Another great question. So it used to be every keyword gets its own page.
Yeah.
And then Google realized, all right, they figured it out. This does help with rankings, but man, we have a lot of pages out there now. And there really isn't a need for all these pages. If you have one topic, one article should cover everything, not 50 pages that each mention a keyword tied to that topic. So what Google got better with is actually understanding more than just what the keyword is. They're understanding the actual meaning, the comprehension of the topic that the keyword's related to. Right? So Google got to a point where everybody started doing basic SEO. If everybody's doing the same title tag work and doing exactly the same, Google's now looking at all these sites going, man, they all look the same to me. Damn it, now what do we do? So Google had to get better at figuring out signals. And what Google did is they put out the Hummingbird update, I think it was like 2014. And that was a massive, massive change. It helped Google get smarter. Google's now able to answer questions. Remember when Siri came out, everyone was blown away, that suddenly Google came out with Google Assistant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the Hummingbird update. So that update really allowed Google to be able to rank web pages, even if the keyword's not on the page, because they could read the topic and go, okay, I know this is about the trucking industry, even if you never say trucking industry. So that's how good Google has gotten these days. I would rather you just write a holistic article, mention all the things that are important about that topic. Don't miss anything. Make it the most important topic. Look at why Wikipedia ranks so well.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a Wikipedia. Just make the topic, you know, and the information better than what Wikipedia has, and then Google's going to think you're more authoritative. That's a great signal to have. So that's a strong signal in your back pocket to help you rank better.
That's true. And you know, with ranking, there are about over 200 factors. So, and I know one of the major factors is your domain authority, because some people say, hey, I have a new business. I just have a new website. I don't have anything there. I may have content, but it's probably not SEO'd, if for lack of a better term. And they want to get that to that next point. You know, what do they have to do? Because people always say, hey, just update your articles, or just change, or add an infographic, or add a video, because now we do video indexing with console. People are trying everything to see what sticks. So is there like a right way to do it, and definitely a wrong way to avoid doing?
I don't know that it's wrong to say, hey, try this, try this, try this. I think that's the right way. But I think what I see too much is people reading things and saying, hey, this will work.
Mm-hmm.
It may not work. You gotta try it. And think about everything you do as an experiment. There's a lot of times in this industry that I see people giving recommendations that are kind of like, you know, did you just read that on a blog? Or like, do you actually have experience doing this kind of thing? Because a lot of the stuff that gets passed around has been passed around forever, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work anymore. I can't tell you the last time I looked at a header tag, an H1 tag, and thought that had ever led, or you know, in the last 10 years that leads or gives any signals that actually moves the needle. You know, there's so many other things that I would rather focus on that I do know that moves the needle. And because every industry is different, as I said earlier, with the signals, like, you have to go and suss out what Google thinks of your site. And you don't know until you're doing experiments every month. So the way that we do work here is a little different than many agencies. We really do this, we call it agile marketing, if you're familiar with the concept. So it's essentially, we're putting together small sprints, monthly sprints, things where we have all these different tactics or strategies or things that we're going to try out based on KPIs and data that the client had given us. Then we put it out there for that month. Then we measure how did it do. And if it says, hey, this stinks, this was a bad idea, that's learning, that's information. That was worth the exercise to learn what not to do for every month going forward. So if you're not really that invested in your SEO and trying to suss out that kind of stuff every day, then you know somebody is going to beat you at the SEO game because they're probably working on it harder.
That's so true. You know, I'm thinking about the other update that was made recently on the helpful content. And also when Google added another E to their EAT acronym, you know, based on experience. And you also talked about it earlier about like, what's the scroll depth? You know, how far do they scroll? Do you have a heat map on your site? Do you have things you can be able to track to know how far down your business should be to affect your CRO? Because if your call to action is all the way in the bottom and people stop halfway, you've missed 50% of, you know, your potential clients. So people don't see that, but they think that, oh, websites, it looks beautiful, it looks nice, it looks very long, but they forget that there's a user that has to experience that to get that result.
Doing those CR tests and sometimes just changing a word in your A spot can, you know, make a 5, 10, 20% lift in conversions. It's incredible.
That's big. And color too, right? Have you noticed that as well?
All usability aspects, color, font size, padding between, and this is a big deal in mobile, like padding between words for tapping. You know, if you tap something on the phone and you accidentally tap two links, like Google sees that. And they're demerits. Google knows that your page is not great usability. You better have great backlinking and great content, great site speed to make up for a lack in usability.
True. That's big.
That's why sometimes you see sites like, I hear this off different clients. Hey, my competitor's not doing that thing you just recommended. Yeah, and they're ranking ahead of you. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't do this too. It just means they're not doing it, but they're doing a lot of other things. And the aggregate of all the signals is why they're winning.
Sure.
So really, SEO at the end of the day is understanding the signals in your niche. And you're right, Google's changing them constantly. There's more updates a year than there were days of the year. That's kind of tough. But it's understanding the signals in your niche and then being better than your competitors. That's how you win.
That's true. And you know, even thinking about it now, fast forward to this whole AI, ChatGPT coming along, and now there's Bard, you know, with Google. There's a lot of things going on, and people are like, okay, I'll just ask ChatGPT to, you know, do this article for me or create this concept, and then I'll just polish it up real quick and post it. Now, Google has gotten really smart, and now that they have Bard, what do you think is the future looking like SEO-wise? Just look at it 20 years ago and foreseeing 20 years from now with this technology in place, what do you think is going to happen with user generation experience and definitely conversions for businesses?
That's a good question. I mean, we're still at the point where I don't trust any of this stuff coming from AI, and Google will even tell you, hey, don't trust this. We're still pretty early on. Once the thing can start having, you know, empathy and things like that, that's when we start to get scared. So Google's already had AI in their system. AI is going to continue going. I mean, the rumor is, and I don't know if it's true, and there's not that many Google engineers working on natural search over there, but there's a few, and the rumor is they don't even know how this algorithm works. AI is so in control now that it's like a big chunk of the full picture. So if that's true, and it's been going on that way for a while, I don't know if you know RankBrain, if you ever read about that in SEO, like that's AI. So AI is there. AI is helpful. I don't see SEO going away in the next 10 years, next 20 years. I could see it becoming a, you know, maybe ChatGPT. Oh my gosh, I'm so terrible at saying that. You got to give that a better name. I can see that maybe becoming like a replacement for a search engine one day, and that would be scary for Google.
Yeah.
But it still requires a human being to create that connection from another platform to your client or to your personal platform. So I don't know. I've heard, again, started this in 1996. I've probably heard SEO is dead about 1,000 times, and I've seen giant things come, and I've seen the landscape not change. So I guess I don't have too much concern about it changing. I just think everything gets a little bit easier.
True. That is so true. I appreciate that, because now it got me thinking, too, about websites. You know, when you think about, oh, keywords is the main thing to look at. Some people say, oh, SEO doesn't work for me. Some businesses say, oh, SEO is too expensive. I'll just get a VA to post 3 times a day for me, because they're trying to shortchange their long, you know, their length. If you think about like the lifespan of a blog is about 2 years. If you think about how long it takes for you to write an article or even have something that's substantial for you to gain some type of credibility online, it will take at least 12 months within the SEO. And some people just say, oh, I'm ranking on page one in month one, so now I should be making 10 times more sales by month three. You know, they have these projections that are really absurd. So for someone who is thinking about building that SEO strategy and they're saying, okay, if I have to pay this amount every month to keep my SEO going and it's expensive and I'm not seeing results in 3 to 6 months, what would you tell such a person that is looking for long-term success?
Yeah, if somebody said, I'm not seeing results in 3 to 6 months, I'd say, well, that means you have competition. SEO, it's funny. It's not for everybody. It really isn't. I mean, how do you sell something to somebody where you can't guarantee it'll work, where you can't guarantee you'll make Google change their mind, but we need you to spend a lot of money because the people that know how to make this kind of thing happen, those SEOs, they cost the same as lawyers and doctors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. That's a hard pitch. And when I worked in the agency world before the company I own, you know, there was a lot of pressure on me to put like targets. You know, what's the ROI going to be? Here's what I'm really thinking. How the hell do I know? Like, are you going to do the things I tell you to do when I recommend them? Are the things that I do going to be enough to move the needle in a year contract? Like, I can't give that answer, but we were supposed to give an answer. Company now, I'm flat out like, listen, we don't know. This is a risk, but you're with a bunch of people that know how to do it. Here's how we know how to do it. Here's what we expect to happen. Here's the plan that we're going to put in place. And here's the timeline that we're going to give to see results. And building upon that, that's how you get moving with it. When people are kind of going to those cheaper SEO companies and they're spending like, you know, $2,000 a month, and I just told you that, you know, the really experienced lawyers are the price, really experienced SEOs are the price of lawyers. You can do the math yourself and realize you're probably not getting really experienced SEOs if you're paying a low fee. So if you're paying a low fee and you're getting little work, you better not have any competition or that probably isn't going to go very far. I have a lot of conversations with people all day long who say like, you know, SEO doesn't work. No, it does. I know it does. I've made companies millions and millions and millions of dollars through SEO. But when you don't do it right, it doesn't work. That's the problem with our industry right now. There's a lot of people can go out there and just say, I'm an SEO. There's no certificate. There's no, we're not lawyers. We don't have to go take the exam again to prove that we're here. So we have a lot of, snake oil salesmen out here.
Yeah.
That makes the whole space challenging. But SEO is hard. It's not getting easier. People are really starting to get more aggressive with it while many have dropped out. Right? Many are like, okay, it doesn't work for me. Okay, but we're not talking about them anymore. We're talking about the people that are competing in the search results. Like, you have to go toe-to-toe with them. You have to be equal with them, content-wise, tactic-wise, strategy-wise, or it's just not even worth doing.
That is so true. Wow. I feel like someone who's listening to this is probably wondering, what do I do? Should I? Like, they're in a deeper hole than they got in at the beginning of the episode because they're like, this thing works. People make hundreds of thousands of dollars a day just on Google AdSense, for example. You know, I mean, based on impressions, it's very, you know, variable. That's a variable number. You have to really know who the person is. But when you think about this long term and you ask yourself, how many verticals am I creating with my domain to keep my business running? You know, the first thing is, oh, should I go to WordPress or should I go to Wix? Then the next thing is, should I go to Google Domains or go to GoDaddy? Like, there are so many trees and questions that people have to go through before they actually get themselves on a console or some type of machine that allows them to scale. And, you know, this got me thinking as you were mentioning this, that for somebody who says, okay, I don't have the budget to run advertisements, but I can spend some time here just working on my SEO and building it, what would you tell the business owner who, let's say, has, I won't give a figure, but has an amount to spend for ads because their competitor is running ads and they're doing well, and they still have to spend money organically to get those keywords running? How would you be able to leverage that? Should they spend ads early? Should they spend ads when they see keywords pop in? What should be the next step for them?
I think there's a lot of ways to play that. And you got to think about seasonality and you got to think about goals and timelines and things like that. SEO is something that you kind of got to keep your foot on the gas pedal. PPC, you can turn off and on, you know, to a degree and still get, you know, the results you want. There's a lot of times when I'm talking to a company, you know, maybe their budget is just a little too small for Greenlane, my company. What I'll try to do is give them, you know, some insights. You know, maybe it doesn't make sense to go to, you know, a big agency. Maybe you just need a consultant who knows a couple things. And when you graduate from that consultant, you get another consultant. And as your SEO is moving and sales are coming in, then move to an agency where you're going to maybe get a lot more power out of, you know, your investment there. I mean, that's an approach. I think if you're a small business, I really do think that you should spend some time and learn this, because there's a lot in SEO that inspires the way that you create a website. Everything we've talked about today is a lot more than just Google.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, I always say to people, SEO is the plate that everything else can sit on. You'd be surprised how much data gets shared between SEO to other channels. You'd be surprised how much everything just kind of comes back to how people find you on Google. Because search engines are so massively important to the world, you know? So it's always interesting to me how big a deal SEO is, even if you're not particularly focused on it, you're probably doing some degree of it without even knowing, as I had said earlier.
That's so true. Wow, this has been really helpful. And I know somebody would want to find out this as well as we get to the close of this episode is, I have a business plan. I have a marketing plan, I have a financial plan. in my marketing plan, I have a goal and I have 12 months to achieve this. Realistically and feasibly, what would be a price range? It doesn't have to be exact figure, but what would be an average cost of consideration to think about when somebody wants to invest in SEO? Because I tell people, SEO is not an expense, it's an investment. So how much are you willing to invest to get your ROI after X number of months? So what would that number be, or what would that range look like?
That's the question I hear several times a day, and I get the worst answer. You're gonna hate this answer. I don't know. Because your business is gonna have different competition. You know, if you're like, hey, I'm starting a new dog food chain and I wanna go up against Petco and PetSmart and all that, I'd be like, all right, we're talking about $100,000 a quarter, you know?
True.
Because you gotta beat them. They've been putting millions in for the last 10 years. But if it's something, you know, you're selling maybe deer hunting blinds and there really isn't anybody selling that, $2,000 on just getting copy, good copy, optimized, written and optimized and put online, maybe your issue isn't copy at all. Maybe your copy's great, you just have terrible backlinks. That's gonna be a different cost than, you know, copy production. So I really don't have an answer. You got to put as much energy into it as your competitors are, or Google probably will never rank you. Working with an SEO, a good SEO, one who really has seen the space, they should be able to kind of look at something and look at, they use tools like I was mentioning earlier, and kind of get a sense of what your total addressable market is, what your visibility is. That's the best way I do it. Like, look, we're this far away from, you know, your next competitor being like, you know, 20 or 30 spots in Google. Well, I know 20 or 30 spots, you know, it's a lot easier to move something up that Google already thinks you're relevant for. You know, being in the top 30 is a hell of a lot better than being in the top 100. So I know moving something like that is going to take less time. You know, I could give a better guesstimate of, all right, that'll be 20 hours probably to start seeing some movement there.
True.
Yeah, but it's just really, it's an almost impossible question to answer, honestly, because you just don't know. You do all the right things and then, damn, the next day Google does a change and now suddenly they're not looking at the same things they were yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like chasing your tail. This is my best analogy to give you for SEO. Are you a NASCAR fan at all?
Yeah, I am. I don't watch much, but I appreciate the F1 and the NASCAR. Yeah, I'm not fully deep into it. I'm more into soccer, but I definitely enjoy that. I love speed racing.
Well, then you totally get the idea. That's the same thing as SEO. You're trying to get the first place. You're trying to get the number one rank.
Yeah.
And what do these teams do? They spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on all sorts of little stuff. Let's spend $500,000 on a new spoiler. All right, let's ride around the track. What did we get? We got 2 seconds faster. Worth it. Because that's 2 seconds closer to the lead. Mm-hmm. That's what SEO is. It's constantly tweaking your race car to see what makes it faster. Until you're finally winning them all because you've outsmarted everybody else.
That's big. I love that analogy. It makes a lot of sense because it's like the engine, you know, when you break it down, search engine. Engine is your car. If your engine is broken down, you can't move, even if it looks pretty on the outside or the inside. It's not going anywhere. So.
I like that. I'm going to steal that. That's a good way to use the engine analogy.
Exactly. You know, that's why I love SEO to SEO, because we learn from each other. And people think that we're competing, but it's more collaborating, because the AI is bigger than what we both can do. But if everybody does their part, then we're all making it a better place for people.
That is the thing I love the most about this industry. And it's not like an industry I've ever seen before. Where in the world could you see a bunch of people at a conference all talking about how to rank websites where they're actually competing against each other?
True.
But we're all in this together, so it's like we need each other, but we're frenemies.
Right.
Frenemies.
Yeah. I like that. That's softer. That's nice.
Yeah. It's a great space. I've rarely met somebody who ever was difficult. I mean, most people are looking to help others because we need each other to learn this industry.
Yeah, that is so true. And that got me thinking too, because people say they have bad experiences with marketing agencies, but they don't have as bad experiences with SEO, which is completely confusing if you think about it, when they're one and one the same thing.
Oh, I hear a lot of bad experiences with SEO, and I hear more and more about how bad they're getting. Yeah, it's because people are selling things that they're making promises. Here's something you got to really worry about. If the company you're working with has more salespeople than SEOs, you're probably in trouble. Ooh. Because the model is, we know you're going to get upset, we know you're going to leave, but that's okay. We have 20 people in line ready to take your place. There's a lot of agencies like that, and that sucks. That will never be good for the website.
That is true.
That's just an agency doing business and not really thinking about positive results to keep customers, because they're just pulling more new customers in that they're going to disappoint over and over, and that's the cycle.
Exactly. Wow. I really appreciate you, Bill, for being here with us and sharing this amazing gems with us. You know, if there's one advice, one key takeaway someone should take from this, if they didn't hear anything at all that we talked about and they hear this, what would it be?
All right. This is my secret tip. If there's a hot tip in SEO that not a lot of people talk about, this is it. So one of the things that I spoke about earlier, when Google moved to that different index, right? They got better at understanding search intent. So if I type in Jaguars, Google can say, all right, I know Bill. Bill's a football guy. He's probably looking for the football team, not the Atari system or the car. So that's pretty amazing. And Google's going to get better at that. So one way that you can go and find out what Google thinks a keyword or a key phrase is, or any query really, to see how they think of that in terms of intent, look at the other results. So let's say you are Salesforce. Let's say you want to be page one for the term CRM. Go to Google's, search the term, go look at the results. And they're going to be things like the top 10 best CRMs. Then the next one might be CRMs compared. They're all informational searches. Salesforce might say, hey, I'd like to be number one on that page. Salesforce.com, number one, right on that page. And then, but you look at it and you say, but Google's only serving informational pages. They don't want your homepage. They don't want your transactional page. Mm-hmm. So Salesforce, if they want to be there, they'll have to create a page that fits with the rest. So my advice is, think about the keyword that you want to rank for and go look at what kind of pages are ranking. If it's a frequently asked questions, maybe make that. Sometimes you just can't get your homepage ranked. Sometimes you can't get a page that you think should be ranked because Google doesn't think it should be ranked. So go with the grain, look at what they think should be ranked, and then start creating your content to match that.
Beautiful. That's perfect. Thank you so much, Bill. I'm sure a lot of people will take that in, do their own search and see. Because like even when you mentioned with color, you know, Google has what, 4 or 5 colors. But why is it blue? That is the links, you know, on the pages. It could be red, but there's a psychology to that as far as trust and, you know, building that with blue. And you think about banks as well. So it all plays into the psychological framework and the palette of what you want to do, even when you create your brand long term. So like there's a reason why you chose green. You know, there's a reason why, you know, another company chose yellow. You know, by the end of the day, the goal is to make sure that we can meet those expectations at an optimal time with optimal results. So I appreciate you for doing that today. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will definitely want to know how they can work with you, connect with you, learn from you, or just talk to you. What options do they have available?
Oh yeah, you could find me on Twitter, at Bill Sebald on Twitter. You can go to greenlanemarketing.com. There's a little chat box that always pops up. It's me. I'm actually the real person. It's not a bot. Add me on LinkedIn. I love talking about this stuff. Tell I talk a lot. So if I have any help that I can offer anybody, it's really important to me that good people find good providers in this industry, since we do have, you know, kind of a bad reputation. So please, I would love to be helpful. Reach out. It'd be my pleasure to chat with you. And if GreenLane can ever be of assistance, that would be great too.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Bill. Till we meet again, God willing, thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Great chat.
Anytime.